Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Welcome, Milwaukee. Welcome, Wisconsin. This is the Thursday edition of The Upswing, the future of almost everything in Wisconsin. Fast forward. So I had a former boss of mine, Joe Sweeney. Sherm. He used to call me Sherm. Like, Sherm, when you stop, you die. Keep going. We'd do these daily check-in meetings. And come to think of it, you know, even though this was years and years ago, they were pretty good preparation for this show. Maybe it was a sign of sorts, but he'd have me come into his office. I'd sit down and he'd say, your goal for the day, Sherm, is to find news stories about all of our partners, all of our clients, all the clients we want, all of our board members, and then create personalized reflections and insights and do emails, send personal notes. It's all relationship building. Sherm, go. He'd always say it with a smile and he'd just say, keep going, Sherm. When you stop, you die. And it's pretty good mantra and really good young advice for a young Jeff Sherman. Maybe a little extreme, but I don't think his point was necessarily that we need to overschedule our lives, but rather that we need to live them well and work hard. He was not a corporate jargon boss at all. Every conversation was real, honest, and never forced. Hopefully you've had a boss or at least a work experience in your life that's this way, like totally full of authenticity and juice and good flow. And that's why I like the Thursday shows, because it's just flowing. It's living life to the best we can, working hard. That's what we do at The Upswing. Conversations with people that care and do. No corporate jargon here, but a little bit of a tease. We might talk about the future of corporate jargon. So you stick around, you're going to hear that on one of our segments. The Thursday Upswing Show with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. We're going to get to the future of car buying, the future of pet ownership, thrifting, maybe a little bit about the four-day work week. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit about corporate jargon. So Steve Glenn is the chief Milwaukee officer at Experience Milwaukee, text MKE. And Steve?
Yes.
A new gig on
new
your
gig.
Plate.
I had to add
tell us,
something.
Give us 30 seconds about what's going on in your life.
So I joined the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra team, heading up marketing over there. I could not be more excited. They are just making so many differences in this community in a positive way with kids and music. It's amazing.
Wow, that's a great connection for your skill set to kind of blend the technology and
yes.
the community building and the entrepreneurship. And give back to the kids and
give
grow.
Back to the kids, and let's make Milwaukee more aware and more excited about all the things that are happening over at MISO.
All right. Yeah. Very good. And then Martin Moore joins us, content creator, podcaster, YouTuber, all things cost headphones. How are you today,
hey,
Martin?
Miserable because there's white stuff falling from the sky. So, yeah, I'm miserable.
And you're still a little salty over the Bucks game from last night. Like, you left early.
You don't leave
Bucks games or church early. That's my thing, Mark.
Sure. Hey,
but
as a season ticket holder,
I understand.
I've been to a lot of games, and at this point in the season, it's a little frustrating to lose back-to-back games to two of the worst teams in the league. So, I could go on a diatribe for the next 2.5 hours. I'm not going to. I'll spare everybody that. But it was a rough game last night.
My thought is they're just preparing for the playoffs. Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, whatever helps you sleep at night.
Let's get there. All right. So a little bit of a topic for today, as Steve said, as we're preparing. We're kind of working to buy and build. That's a theme for today.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask, are you guys pet owners?
Yes.
All right.
Reluctantly.
I'm not reluctantly. It is by pure choice.
Multi-pets or just a single dog or cat? Or is it just nonstop?
I always used to have two cats, and then a couple of years ago during COVID, we had to put our one cat down. So we just have the one right now. But I have always loved having a pet. There's just something nice about like coming home and this little thing greets you and it can't like talk back to you or like but literally all it does for the most part is just give you joy.
Follows you around, bothers you.
In my opinion, there's nothing else better than making a pet happy.
All right. Well, we will talk about the future of pets when we come back. The future of almost everything in Wisconsin with Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman, and this is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. Fast forward, Wisconsin, the future of almost everything. Two experts who know the trends and technology and the talent all around our state better than anyone, Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. So even if you're not a pet owner today, the Brewers Community Foundation and 620 WTMJ are teaming up on the team's first Drive for Charity event of the season, a pet supplies drive. Out at Helfer Field, you go to the Cooper Hoop, the Cooper parking lot at Helfer Field, just outside American Family Field, until 3 o'clock today. You can donate pet items for, you know, pets in need, all pets indeed. You drive through. 620 WTMJ's Debbie Lozaga is going to be there till noon. And those who participate by donating at least $10 are eligible to get a Pat Murphy or Ricky Week pin, Ricky Week's pin. And furthermore, the first 250, and I don't know exactly where we're at, but the first 250 fans who donate in person receive two free tickets and a Brewers hat. You can text PETS, easy for me to say, text PETS to 855-616-1620, and we'll get you all the information. So back to pets. We're on all pets, the future of pets. 66% of Americans have a pet. And a 2023 survey found that 70% of Americans spend between $600 and $1,200 annually on their pets.
$103 billion per year on pet products in America.
That doesn't sound like enough.
That's a lot of money.
I have a little cat. I can guarantee you I spend more than $1,200 annually.
The problem is these pets go through these toys so quickly. That's the problem.
Yeah. Not unless it's a cat. All you need is an Amazon box. Cats are real cheap to entertain. Amazon box or a twist tie.
Nice.
How is it easy coordinating in your household, Martin, with pets?
Like as far as just like taking care of them?
Yeah, the day-to-day.
Totally. I basically, for our cat Savannah, I am the one who like feeds her, gives her treats. I clean her. She has like a giant water jug thing, so I clean that, fill that. My wife does the litter box. And that's basically about it. Like a cat does not take a whole lot of attention. Dog, on the other hand, I used to have a dog when I was in my early 20s. And that was a bunch of work, and I gave it back.
Yeah. We grew up with dogs, and our daughter has lobbied very heavily for a dog, and I suggested a robot dog that did not go over well. But do you think that's the future? Could some type of technology take the place of
like an AI robot dog?
Or just that?
Like a Boston Dynamics?
Stupid talk.
I think it's going to be real pets.
Yeah.
People love real pets.
Yeah. There's enough need out there for real pets. We don't need to replace them with electronic ones.
100% agree. So what are some of the trends that you're seeing on the pet side? Obviously, you know, from a community building standpoint, it's pet inclusive living spaces and personalized parks. We're seeing that in the Milwaukee area for sure. But nutrition plans and
health insurance.
You guys have health insurance for your pets?
Not yet, but I'm going to for our pets because I've just been getting bombarded by friends who say this is the best thing ever to protect you and your pet.
Yeah. It doesn't take a lot. One thing pet owners, I think, that's ubiquitous is it's like you'll go in for something with your pet and it can spiral out of control financially really quickly. Oh, we just need $800 for this MRI. Oh, we just need, you know, another $700 for this blood work. And then it's just like you get to this point where you're $1,000, $2,000, $3,500 in
You have to make tough decisions.
Yeah, where do I stop? And so pet insurance is definitely advantageous for certain people.
Yeah, you got to treat your pets like part of the family.
I mean,
right?
My one cat had like feline breast cancer and we put her through chemo and I think we dropped like $6,000 on her and it was...
Poor cat.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but she lived a great little life. One thing that I am seeing that we use is like we call it the babysitter because we call our cat the baby. But like we use Rover, so when we go on trips, they come in and you basically can get like the same person every time, and they come in and take care of your pet so that you don't have to kennel it or you know whatever people do with their pets. And that's something that's been really fun and interesting to use.
What about other pet technology. What are you seeing in that space?
AirTag collars.
Yeah, and they monitor the, you know, Fido's moods and kind of get you insight into the mental health of your animal.
I always thought that, like, when you, like, chipped, in air quotes, a dog or a cat, that meant, like, you could just, like, go on an app or on a computer and, like, find where they are if they get lost. I never realized till I owned a pet that that was basically if they just get found, like, they can figure out who the owner is.
Yeah.
So seeing air tags come out and people putting them on, like, dog collars and stuff, if your dog gets out, I mean, you can basically find exactly where it is. And so being able to track at least dogs and cats like that is a technology and that I've seen a lot grow, like a market that I've seen grow.
I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I'm seeing a lot of pet strollers in coffee shops. I know how I feel about that. And then,
what if they're disabled?
I think what's
how dare you?
What's coming? 15% of funeral homes in America offer funeral services, pet death care services.
Pets, they're part of our family. Yes. You got to treat them with respect, and you got to.
When we put our last cat down, we were fortunate enough that we were able to use an in-home service. So they came to our house, and just the respect that they had for giving us time and space. And then, like, when they took her away, they drove away real slowly so we could kind of watch them leave the neighborhood. And that was worth every single penny. And my heart breaks for people and pet owners who maybe can't afford that. Or maybe they took their pet to the, you know, emergency room, and then that's kind of where they ended up having to stay. But those kinds of services, they may sound silly to some people, but as a pet owner, they're like your kids. And that kind of stuff is just invaluable. When you lose a pet, it is like losing a brother or a sister or a friend or a mother or a father. So,
all right. The future of almost everything with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Next up, a new study finds that our state is full of pushy car dealers. We'll talk about that. This is The Upswing.
You see the price on that sticker? Well, that's the price you're going to pay for this car. Not a dime more for the football star.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Now, you got to promise me you won't go telling anybody about the deal I just gave you.
Indeed. We're back. The future of almost everything with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Tinting Chicago. A company in, obviously, Chicago sent out a news release last week, and it analyzed 40,000 Google reviews of nearly 7,000 auto dealerships across 100 cities in the United States. And it found that car dealers in our wonderful state, here in Wisconsin, had some of the pushiest car salespeople in the country. Now, I'm taking this with a little bit of grain of salt. It could just mean that we have really good salespeople. And, you know, the source is from Illinois and Chicago. But I wanted to talk about the future of car sales. Fiat, Kia, and Chrysler were said to have the pushiest branded dealerships in America. Isn't the era of pushy car salesmen and women over?
I think so. As someone who worked in the car industry for 20 years, I think it is. It's people hate having to go to a car dealership to buy a car, because you go there Saturday morning, 8, 9 a.m. when they open up, and then you're there till, like,
they close. Yeah.
Or sometimes they'll just stay open a little after so that, you know, they can get a extended warranty in there and stuff. It's a, for me, it's always been a miserable experience. I don't know anyone that enjoys car shopping.
Yeah.
So the future of buying cars, I think, is going to be a great conversation to get into.
And I think we have such a strong relationship-built community in Wisconsin that our dealers are, I don't know, they're just different.
We have a lot of family-owned dealerships, the Slashman Organization, Heiser, Amato. You know, there's a lot of big local family dealership organizations out there. And you definitely can feel that when you go into some of those dealerships. You can feel the hospitality there, and they're not so pushy, and the experience is definitely much better. But that's not the case around the entire country.
Yeah.
If you want to chime in, the WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Steve Glenn,
yes.
Have you bought a car online? You mentioned you bought a car via
text. I've done text for the last two cars, which even the financing part was texted to me. I just opened the app, applied, did it, took care of everything. We show up and pick up the car.
So where did it originate?
So online.
Okay. Like just via a
search.
A classified ad somewhere. Just
searching,
just search
doing searches. And then you get down to, like, I think Martin was talking about, you know, you can, or a friend this morning, we're talking about, you can check, is the car still available? You just send a message right to the person or the dealership, and they get back to you.
Hmm.
It was fast. Easy.
I'm car hunting right now because my lease is up in December.
What are you in the market for?
I'm probably going to get the new Hyundai Tucson that's coming out. One interesting thing about this whole, you know, the future of buying cars is Amazon and Hyundai partnered for 2024, and you're going to be able to buy Hyundais on Amazon, which sounds great and also kind of a little crazy. And I'd be curious to know what the listeners think. Like, would you ever just go on Amazon without test driving a car or anything and just hit buy with Prime, and then whatever, that baby shows up in your driveway like 2 days later? Like, is the convenience of not having to go to a deal, because not all communities have a bunch of car dealerships like Milwaukee does. You might live in rural America and you got to drive an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So is that convenience worth it? Would you buy a car on Amazon? Because that's how Tesla works.
Yeah.
You load up your app.
And transparency and convenience drive sales in any market.
100%.
And with cars, there's no reason it can't be the same thing.
Exactly. Would you buy a car off the internet or an app without test driving?
I would. If I knew what I wanted and I had good background and knowledge on it, of course. My last car, I bought a BMW i3, not in production, but I went to the dealer, told them what I wanted. I had all the Carfaxes. I'm like, hey, here's three vehicles that I found. If you find one of them for me, here's what I'd like to pay for it. Do it.
Sure.
And there was some back and forth on the cost, but it was a pretty easy process. But I used a dealer. It went well for me, but there's no reason I couldn't have cut that dealer out and went direct.
Sure. Are you guys loyal to car brands?
No.
No, not really.
No. You'll pop around.
Yeah.
With whatever you want.
Yeah. What I like. I go to what I like.
Sure. What do you think about the future of kind of car subscriptions? You think that's something that's coming to the market?
BMW's heated seat subscription? Absolutely not.
No.
I'd rather walk or take a bird scooter than have to have a car where I'm subscription and dime to death. Absolutely not, under any circumstance.
All right. The future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. When we come back, we're going to talk about corporate jargon and we're going to talk about thrifting.
I wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big tangle from that thrift shop down the road. I wear your granddad's
clothes. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything, with Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, and I'm Jeff Sherman. From the 414 on the WTMJ talk and text line, it's 855-616-1620. When I bought my beloved vehicle, I found the salespeople to be very pleasant and not pushy. My biggest challenge was that he's 6'3", found it difficult to find a vehicle, which he did not feel like he was a giraffe in a big clown car. But after finding the right fit, actually he said he found a Mazda CX-5, went online to the dealer site, found the one he wanted, went in, done. Deal.
Bought it.
Easy.
Take my money.
That's it.
There is the future of car buying. You know, it's a little bit of a blend. It's the convenience of online, the convenience of knowing you got a dealer that's going to help you get the deal done.
Did he say something about Martin?
Well, as we talked about during the break, he said, P.S., Martin rocks.
Yes.
Which we all agree.
We know that.
Rocks.
The listeners have always been so good
they
to
love
me.
You.
Very few of them drag me in the comments on Twitter.
Ouch.
So speaking of deals, what's the future of thrifting? Buying other people's old stuff is back. Mm. It's more popular than ever, for sure. And there's so many different ways to clean out the closet and plug into whether it's brick and mortar places or whether it's places online. Milwaukee and Wisconsin are full of amazing places like Goodwill, Salvation Army, Retique from Goodwill.
Yeah.
You got All Goods, Value Village, St. Vincent de Paul.
Isn't there the Bins by Goodwill out? Will you buy clothes by the pound?
Yeah. There's a place called Bins
like a ham.
In Madison.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
It's incredible.
So are you guys deal shoppers in the thrift space?
I see my kids doing this a lot more, especially selling their old clothes so they can buy someone else's old clothes. And I think not only, when we think about the future, not only is thrifting the new shopping, it's a new part-time job because people are going and finding the gems out there and they're flipping on apps like Poshmark and making a great side hustle.
Oh, yeah. Facebook Marketplace, that's another big one where you see people reselling.
Yeah.
This is an interesting conversation. I kind of had no thoughts on this when we were coming into the show.
But it's like every Thursday.
right. But as we started talking about it, it got me thinking about a couple weeks ago, we talked about the future of like clothing, you know, and we were talking about how today everything is disposable and how right. family heirlooms aren't going to be a thing because we have Apple Watches and we have all this fast fashion and clothes from China and overseas that, you know, last 6 months to a year. Right now, when you're thrifting, I mean, you're buying really good quality vintage retro electronics or jeans or shirts or shoes mm-hmm. or handbags or whatever it is that's very high quality. What is that going to look like in 10, 15, 20 years from now where all of this fast fashion and all of this cheap Amazon clothes and electronics just don't last? Can thrifting survive on that sort of disposable material world that we live in 2024?
And are we going to have fewer and fewer quality clothes being donated to exactly. all these brick and mortar places exactly. that need us to donate in order to survive?
Totally. I mean, right. you got all these shirts that threads are unraveling or they're developing holes or tearing. I bought a jacket once from, I can't remember where it was, and like 2 months later, the armpit just like ripped open. And so it's like, if this stuff doesn't last, you can't donate it to Goodwill or St. Vincent de Paul. And so is there going to be a deficit in, stuff for people to donate in order for people to rebuy it?
I hope not.
I know, right?
I was, so surface level, I'm like, I was thinking a little bit the same way you were thinking also in terms of like, what does this really mean to the economy? Because I'm in an isolated kind of bubble with my kids and I'm seeing them do this a lot. But so I dug in the market size of thrift stores in the U.S., $14 billion.
Wow.
In 2023.
That's way higher than
that's
I thought.
That's a lot of thrifting.
That's about $13.5 billion more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, exactly. That's a significant industry, and I think junk be darned, it's going to continue to grow because people like to get deals.
Totally. Yeah. One person's junk is another person's treasure.
Very right.
And people love sifting through all of the not what you want to find that one gem hidden in that pile
totally.
Of stuff.
There's an excitement in finding the one thing that's just going to look great at the workplace yes. or when you're going out at night. But the workplace continues to change and evolve. Are we going to the 4-day work week? And what is corporate jargon going to mean in our futures? We'll be back. This is The Upswing.
Bringing to the table our capitalized reputation, proactively.
Welcome back to The Upswing. This is the future of almost everything. Fast Forward Wisconsin with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. What are your thoughts, gentlemen, on the 4-day work week? I want to give a quick set the table here.
I used to work 4 days, 4-day work week, when I worked on cars.
Wow.
Yep.
And that was
4 10-hour days.
Yep. Okay. And you enjoy it?
I mean, it was what it was. They were long days. It was nice having like those 3 days, weeks or seven, right? Yeah. Three days off. it didn't really matter. It was kind of a horse apiece, like for me, but I didn't mind it. But I mean, having that free time, there's tons of studies that prove that people are more productive in a 4-day work week. And I do kind of buy into that and believe that.
So there's a national coaching company that partnered with the Wharton School of Business, and they analyzed the results across a bunch of corporations on the 4-day work week. It showed, for starters, companies' year-over-year retention rates improved drastically, mm-hmm. and employee turnover rate fell from 47% to 29% in some cases.
That's a lot of money they're saving. Yeah.
So there's an economic case for it for sure.
Totally.
But the reality is, most of us are always working. So yes. How do you put it into practice, I think, is the thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I love all the work I do in my many jobs I have, and including now MISO. And what I did flirt with, because I looked into this a little bit and found that I found a site that listed about 20, a little over 20 countries that are experimenting with a 4-day work week. And what if we also looked at a shortened day work week?
Yeah, there's countries that mess around with 35-hour work weeks.
Work 4 days across 5 days.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah. From the 262, I used to work in a data center staffed 24/7 where everyone was on 12-hour shifts, 4 days, one per week, 3 days the other, two-week pay period. Many hated it, but I loved it. And I think the idea was way ahead of its time. Having 3 or 4 days off every week was well worth the long daily hours. He seldomly needed to take a day off for medical appointments or caring for aging parents or whatever. So it creates that flexibility that we all need in our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, frankly, we expect.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things when I worked for 4 days when I worked at Honda was like you could go on a little 4 or 5 day vacation and you only need to take 1 day of PTO.
Yeah.
If you got families, that's more time with your families. And people really value outside of work freedom and giving them that flexibility. I mean, that's a huge, huge perk, you know, that you can't get with most places. And I think it's worth the trade-off of having longer days and getting home at, you know, 6, 7 p.m.
So how do you turn it off when you get home? This isn't exactly like
I don't
video games.
I find it hard.
Yeah, I struggle a lot. I've got my laptop. I've got a setup at home in multiple rooms. I personally, the family doesn't appreciate this very often, but I enjoy working on my stuff with the family around and bouncing ideas around with my wife and getting things done and just the kids running around. It's to me, that's fun, but they sometimes yell at me about it.
That's right. Sherm, you stop, you die.
Right. That's right.
Keep going.
I think about that. When you started this show with that, I thought that is every day for me. I've got that voice in my head.
That's what it's all about. All right. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore, the future of almost everything. We're going to talk about corporate jargon. This is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The future goes fast always on Thursdays with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. A fun, lively conversation as always as we talk about working to buy and build. One thing I'm doing at the Sherman household with my wife, we're trying our hardest to get our kids to continue to work hard to get all the wonderful things they have in life. And one thing we get to do as a family, we're going to give away a gift card right now to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. As I've said often, the Sherman family, we live in the North Shore, but the Mineshaft in Hartford, it's a staple and it's a pretty easy drive for us. And we get the kids away from their chores, hopefully, and away from that Xbox and into the $2 million game room at the Mineshaft. Great pizza, too. Mom and Dad can kind of sit at the table or sit at the bar, hang out while the kids check out the game room. Caller number 7 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, buy one, get one free pizza. All right. Well, so there's a thread. Are you guys on Threads?
No, I deleted that app about two weeks after.
Really? You have
you use it? Boy, you seem disappointed.
I'm a little disappointed in you, Martin.
I've never seen him that angry.
No, yeah. I'm trying to embrace like a new platform, a new social platform. And I thought Martin Moore would be like, I am here, Jeff. I am here for you. And you're just like, no, I'm done with
it. I'm on MySpace. So,
I'm not a big Instagram user, but obviously Threads owned by Meta. So I don't have a ton of followers there, but I enjoy the space. There's one account. Robin Garrett is her name. Real Courageous Leadership is the handle. She asked for the worst, most hated corporate jargon. And it got 15,000 plus comments.
Wow.
So I wanted to talk about some of your, I don't know if the word is favorite, but maybe some of your
least favorite
corporate jargon terms and how do we get away from it in the workspace?
I call it LinkedIn lingo.
Ooh.
I hate LinkedIn. LinkedIn is one of the worst things to happen to the internet in the last 20 years.
No Threads, no LinkedIn for Martin. It's a good thing you come in once a week so we can see each other face to face. That's where relationships are built.
Right. I don't know if I have a problem here. One is I don't like the words, but I find myself using them out of convenience a lot. And I don't know what the future of them. One of the things when I think about the future of like, let's take a deep dive. Let's flesh this out. Let's get aligned here. We need an Urban Dictionary equivalent for corporate buzzwords to know what the heck they really mean.
I have my top five that I hate.
Okay.
Crushing it. Absolutely cannot stand. Circle back. Synergy. Run it up the flagpole. And touch base. You use any of those five phrases with me, it's an immediate, I completely zone out.
What's an alternative to circle back? Because, I mean, you went right to it. That it was number one on her list.
Yeah.
Circle back. We all use it in some way, shape, or form. It's easy.
Yeah.
But what's an alternative?
It's tough. I mean, I just say let's, you know, talk about this again next week. Let's regroup on this.
Yeah, regroup. I'm fine with
regroup.
That.
You're all right with regroup and just not circle back?
I think it's one of those things like any sort of like buzzword or phrase. It's fine when it first gets used,
yeah.
But then people just completely destroy it. The word I want to use, I don't think I can say on the radio.
Yeah.
People really just destroy it and overuse it, and it just becomes a meme.
Yeah.
And so that's why some of those words just drive me crazy. And then, you know, you get into meetings and everybody's saying the same word. Yeah. There's nothing I can't stand more than when you're with a group of educated professional people and they're all talking the same because you know they're all in the same little LinkedIn echo chamber.
And it means nothing.
And it means nothing. Yeah. People will go on these 5-10 minute rants, and at the end you realize they've said absolutely nothing.
Their team players focused on deliverables, being really agile. They got their boots on the ground. They're diving in. They're doing a deep dive, Martin. Come on, let's go.
Keep moving the goalposts.
That's what I'm talking about.
So I think it's bad when these words come into the kitchen. And then you're circling back on what we should have for dinner.
When
and
your significant other starts talking to you like that.
No, let's leave those at work. I had a friend who used to try to inject his own and create his own buzzwords based on, like, you know, pop culture and Vanilla Ice songs. So he gave a presentation one time and he said, listen, everybody, we have to stop, collaborate, and listen. And it caught on at his workplace. People started using that phrase, and they had no idea where it came from.
See, there can be fun in everything if we make it happen.
No!
Oh, man. We're old.
We were right by them, so.
We're old.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, with every Thursday, the future of almost everything, I appreciate you, Steve Glenn. I appreciate you, Martin
Love
Moore.
You guys.
You're leaning in each and every day, and we're going to circle back on it next
There's
week.
Another one. I have six.
Tomorrow on The Upswing, we'll continue conversations with people that are passionate and caring and are making things happen in the community. We're going to talk about organ donation, and we're going to talk to two business owners that had kidney and heart transplants and see how that affected their lives, how that made them probably even better people, and talk about the opportunities and challenges around organ donation. This is The Upswing.